That is very good. Pardon me. There's not any up here, is there? Okay. That's the worst thing. I got to tell you this story. It's not that gross, but I shave a lot of times with lye soap. Grandma's lye soap. And it just makes a good lather. I know you wanted to know that. I get that at one of the neatest stores in all of Texas called Gibson's. And I buy Grandma's lye soap. It cleans off nearly anything. But for shaving in hot water, wow, and it works. The problem is, sometimes as lye soap ages a little bit, little clumps will come off, just little clumps. And I didn't know it, but one of those clumps of lye soap was stuck right out here. But it didn't look like lye soap, and here I am walking around with that. And now, everybody's going to think it's everything but lye soap. And so that's why I check now. If I'm eating like that, you know, please tell me, do I have anything that's any lye soap? But this chunk, I don't know how I didn't feel it. It was right hanging out there, lye soap. And then when I finally saw it in the mirror of the pickup, you know, I'm going along and I thought, oh, God, what is that? And I realized, that's lye soap. I can take another bath. But how many people saw that? And, you know, we always go to the worst. So I don't want that happening up here with biscuits and gravy. Anyway, go to Hebrews. If you look this stuff up when I'm going, well, we put most of it up here. It's Hebrews chapter 10. Let me get that gravy down. Did y'all try that? Did anybody try the gravy? Yeah. It reminded me. It did. It had a reminder of the old military meal. Of beef chips and gravy and on toast. A lot of people didn't like it, but for me, pardon? That's not what we called it, no. But I liked it. And I have to admit, I liked it, and I would get it nearly every day going through the line. And they would slop, they don't do this now, but they slopped it back in those days. And boy, they would just, you got a piece of toast, and it was barely toast, and that they'd reach in there and blop out of a ladle, and it just splatter. And a lot of the stuff I was in, you didn't have time to go sit down and eat your meal. So as soon as it plopped on there, you started eating it. Some of the training phases, you had 3 minutes. You got 3 minutes for a meal, and that included going through the line and getting. So by the time you got to the table, they'd run you out, and your food was done. So, man, we were chunking that in, the stuff running off our fingers. You didn't use any utensils. You just crammed it and turned something up and ran out the door. And that was it. Now it's so changed. I mean, it's like restaurants have it so good. And that has nothing to do with this message. So we're going into faith. I just want you to know, it's totally non-related. Just one of those stories that the gravy, but it reminded me of that. You know, things will turn your memory, a little memory bank over. But that's really good stuff. And so thank you. So in Hebrews chapter 10, it's important that we don't let it go, and that's the first bullet point. Let me read this to you. Don't let it go. What's it? Faith. Don't let it get away from you. And here's the thing. Christians miss this. They get in a lot of trouble with this. They don't realize, they don't get it, that your faith, if you're not careful, can just seep right out. You have to build on your faith. And we take it for granted that, you know, I have faith to ask Jesus in my heart, and he gives me all this faith, and he's going to keep supplying it. He will, as long as I want it. And that's true of most things in Scripture. Your salvation, you ask Jesus in your heart, you truly do, you repent of your sins, you confess them, you ask Jesus in your heart, the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin, and he writes your name in the book of life. Is everybody good with that? But then the Lordship of Jesus comes in, and me continuing to walk in that saving grace, that saving faith, that's the kicker. And our world right now is full of everything to keep us from believing. And if you look back in your notes, you say, you're hitting on this. Yes, I am. And I'll even use the same passage. I don't care. Different message, but same passage. But if that's because God is really, he's putting it on my heart that if anything's being challenged today with you and me as Christians, it's our faith. It's our faith. Mine gets rattled. Mine gets shook up. I hear this stuff. I watch you watch things that's blatantly obvious what's going on. I mean, obvious. And then you got the media and everybody and everything that just pretends that they actually treat us like we're so stupid we don't get it. Does that ever bother you? You know, they think that we're just stupid. And do you realize that elitism is a part of socialism? There's the elite, and everybody else are the peasants. And if you've ever had to see what goes on in certain places, third world countries, it'll knot your stomach up and say, how could anybody with an ounce of intelligence promote socialism? All it does is make a few people very rich and well taken care of, and the masses starve to death. And all the promises that's made to get there are lies out of hell. They are. And so you've got to keep your faith and don't be distracted. So let me read this. I'm already bringing into the message. See, I'm trying to work along it. But you got to read something so you know what we're talking about. And he says in verse 35 of Hebrews chapter 10, don't do it, he says. Don't let it go. Do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Is everybody with me? You say, we've heard this. Hear it again. Get it. Stay with it. Don't throw away your confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. He says, patient endurance. Don't like those two words? Never have. How many in here like it when you read in Scripture that you got to have patience? Do you like that? No, I don't either. Thank you. Anybody else don't like it? You know, just be honest. When I read, be patient, and do you ever pray? Have you ever prayed for patience? Well, that was quick. It sounds like a man that's done that before. Yeah, don't do it. You pray for patience, he'll give it to you. It's not that God's mean, but if you want it, he'll teach you patience. He sure will. He sure will. And it can happen in praying for faith too. We've got to do it. You got to pray. You know, we really need to. God, you know, what I ask God to do is just, you know, grow me in your grace, in your patience, in your faith. You know, and I've even asked the Lord, you may think this is silly, but I have, God, don't make me have to go through a bunch of stuff to learn it. Please impress it upon me. Help me to get it without having to pay the price that I usually have to pay for this stuff. But those two words, he said, I want you to patiently endure. I want you to stick to it. That's what you need to do now. This is so relevant, though. Don't throw away your confident trust in the Lord. You got to believe. Got to believe God's in this. He's going to work this out. All of it. Everything. The election, the COVID, Antifa, the Black Lives Matter, the whole thing. All of it. All the rebellion, all the stuff. He's going to work it out. And he's going to work out this whole thing. It's going to be okay, folks, one way or another. And we know we win in the end. I just want to win now, too, don't you? I know we win the war. I want to win all the battles. And I've lost one or two in life, but I want to win them, and we all do. But look at this. He said, I want you to patiently endure. That's what you need now. So you will continue to do God's will. That's the key. He said, I want you to have faith. That's that confident trust in the Lord. I want you to patiently endure. Why? Just so you can take it, so that God can use you as an example. Well, he does that, but that's not why he's saying that. He said, I want you to do it so you'll continue to do my will, God's will. That's it. That's why we go through this. Listen, friends, when you cut it all down, that's what it's about, right? We're not here to live for ourselves. We're here to live to do God's will. That's it. And we miss that. We get caught up in each other. We get caught up in things. We get caught up in family. We can sure get caught up in kids. Real easy. Anybody ever got caught up in their kids? You know? And did you ever project yourself into their troubles? And you project yourself into their issues? And you end up being more upset than they are? And acting more weird than they're acting? And you ever gotten mad at some people, some kids' parents or whatever, because the kids were picking on them, whatever, and the kid comes home crying and doing all that, and the next day those kids are best friends? Except you and the other mama or the other daddy hate each other the rest of your lives. And really, seriously, and he says, just focus on my will, not this stuff. And then you'll receive everything that he's promised. In just a little while, the coming will come and not delay, and my righteous ones will live by faith. And I hit on this not long ago, but here we are again, because he keeps impressing, my people aren't getting this. It's not soaking in. He said, I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. That scares the dickens out of me. You know what he's saying? He said, if you turn away from me, you're not mine. I'll take no pleasure in you. Meaning what? I have nothing to do with you. And then he comes right back and says, but we are not like those who turn away from God to their what? Own destruction. Does that ever scare anybody? He says, if you turn away from God, if you have been making a mimicry of this and you're mocking it and you're pretending, and he says, and you turn away from God, you go to whatever it is you're going to go to. He said, I'm telling you right now, he said, I'll take no pleasure in those who turn away from God. They turn to their own destruction. And we are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. Now get that. You believe in Jesus Christ, you hang in there, you're the faithful one whose souls will be saved. So let's look at some notes. First is don't let it go. I've heard many Christians say this, I can't lose my faith. And I've also heard this, I will never lose my faith. Yeah, don't say that. And then what happens? Something horrific. And this is what I've seen, and this is where the tough part is. You know, I've heard this many times. I'll never lose my faith. Never. I can't. And I've even had them say, the scripture says I can't lose my faith. No, it does not. It's telling you right there, you can definitely lose your faith. Can you lose your salvation? No. Can you lose your faith? And will there be destruction? Yeah. But there are many of those. Here's the problem. There are many people who say they're Christians and they've never been born again. They've never truly asked Jesus in their heart. And that's what keeps so many people hurt and away from the church. It's the rudeness and the meanness and the terrible behavior of people who are their church saved. They've been in church, they know all the lingo, they know the scriptures, they can quote all this stuff, but they've never asked Jesus in their heart. They think they're saved because they've been to church every time the doors open. They're religious, but they're not saved. Their name's not written in Lamb's Book of Life. And then when pressure comes and hard times comes, then they fall away. And then people say, see, Christians are no better than anybody. I've heard that and heard that because they never were in the first place. And I can't look at a specific individual. We're not supposed to. And we can't judge their salvation. But Jesus did say, by their fruits you'll know them. And if they're not bearing fruit, something's wrong. And I think sometimes, listen to me, Christians are way too passive and out here in this thing. And look, if somebody is sinning and are coming and they're taking the Lord's Supper with us and they're worshiping, yeah, praise God, and then they're going out and you see them doing stuff that you know absolutely, is it our responsibility to say, not to judge, but to say, excuse me, there's people up there in the church that believe you're saved, but your fruits are unsaved. What gives? Sunday, you're God's person. And then Monday through Saturday, you're the devil's person. It doesn't work that way. And so listen to me. People say, I never lose my faith. I can never have my faith taken away. I can't lose it. And then the tragedy happens. I don't wish this on anybody. But then there's a loss of someone really close to them. Or there's a broken up marriage. Our child gets in a whole lot of trouble. And the first thing then that's challenged, and the devil uses that because we're in trauma. When you're in trauma, when you're depressed, when you're hit with hard, terrible things that you can't comprehend, and Scripture says God is not the author of confusion, right? He's not the God of confusion, but the God of peace. But we get confused and frustrated. And then we begin to challenge God with this. Why did you let this happen? And at that moment, as I'm entertaining that question, by the way, that is a common human response, but as I keep doing that, I'm challenging the faith. You follow me? I've done it myself. God, why did you let this happen? I'm hurt. This is the worst nightmare. I can't believe you allowed this. And what am I really saying? I, a mere human being created by an almighty God, is challenging my Creator and questioning His motives. I'm not saying that you've committed some great sin, but what is happening when I'm doing that? Do you know what I'm admitting without saying the words? I'm saying, God, my faith is dwindling over this, or I wouldn't be questioning you. I expect when somebody has a trauma, there's been a car accident, been some big breakup or something, I expect that. I listen to them, and they say, and they'll ask me, this is common. Why did God let this happen? Let them work through that. It's when they continue to do that, I realize the initial response, that's human. Let them do it. It's okay, they don't mean it. But when they keep saying it, and 3 weeks later, and 3 months later, and 6 months later, why did God let, they are challenging God. And what it says is, oh, this took your faith. This means your faith was so small that this thing, which was terrible, took your faith right down the river. What little you had. And you see, it takes those things in our lives, unfortunately, for us to see where we really stand versus where we think we stand. And the problem that we run into as Christians is we think a whole lot of things that aren't. We think we're in better fellowship with God. We think our faith is strong enough. We think that we're walking in grace when we might not be. Everybody follow me? When we're really bitter, we say, oh no, I love people. I just love, I've heard people say that. I just love everybody. You ever heard anybody say that? Oh, I just love everybody. Do you, I know you haven't said it, but did you think it? Pants on fire? You know? Because I want to tell you something. Only Jesus, as far as I've ever understood and ever seen, only Jesus could love everybody. If you ask me certain individuals today, Tony, do you love them? In front of the church, I've got to say one thing. See, what are you saying? Well, and when I get up in front of the church, I got to lie and say, yes, I do. And then, but outside it, so the truth is, Tony, are you able to love everybody? Do you love everybody in politics today? Do you wish God's blessings upon them? See? Is that what we're supposed to pray for, though? Love your enemies? Do good to them? And yet, when it comes down to it, it's like, okay, Pastor, here it is. Do you really wish that for some there? Do you wish that they would go meet Jesus early? Yeah. If we're honest, do we? Yeah. I mean, it's tough, isn't it? I mean, this faith thing, I mean, through faith and my walk with the Lord, I'm supposed to be able to say, I don't like what you're doing, but I love you as a person. Are you kidding me? But that's where I have to strive for. See, if you don't, if you're not there, and we're laughing because we're not there, but God wants you to strive to be there. And so we got to let go of that bitterness and whatever it is and our prejudice and all the things that's built up, see, inside. Last week, we talked about cleaning out refrigerators and cleaning out our pantries and our cupboards. Well, this comes rolling right off of that. You got to do some cleaning. And here's another reason you got to clean things out, so you can put some fresh stuff in. If my old pantry's full of a bunch of expired stuff and my expired peanut butter and all the shelves in the drawers in my refrigerator are full of old gunky stuff, then how am I going to put fresh stuff in there? So I got to get that all cleaned out and sanitized and then bring in the fresh vegetables. Do you see this? When the Christian's heart gets all mucked up with expired stuff, there's no room for God's presence. That's the tragedy. And I just didn't get that last week, but I'm going to put in this week. That's the real tragedy, is when I don't have room for God because I've made room for too much junk. Everybody follow me? Yes? Don't let me repeat it, because then we go too long. So, you know, so everybody just say, yes, yes, we get it. Yeah, we did. Whether you do or not. You know how that goes. Okay, anyway. So can you lose your faith with tragedy? Yes. Do people go through temporary spells of the loss of faith in a tragedy? Of course. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about that enduring thing where over time they just never have that faith. Do you see some people just never can exercise faith with anything? Every time you talk to them, everything's negative, bad. The world, what's that? Remember the old expression? You've heard it and heard it and it's still there. Well, the world's just going to hell in a handbasket. Remember that old term? There's people who live like that. Listen, Christian, you can't live that way. You're going to have to live believing that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And no matter what's going on around it, don't trust your perception. Don't believe it. Stay with what God says. There's evil afoot. There's a move to change us into a heathen nation. Let's just face it. Say it. It's true. There's a move to take us to a godless society. And friends, it's up to you and me to take that stand in faith and say, not on my watch. Not on my watch. Not happening. Now, I just want a little caution here. The more we're caught up in the events around us, the more easily we can lose our faith. Be aware. Yes, do your part. Send in emails. Whatever you got to do. But keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. The rights, the COVID, the media attacks, all the meanness around us, the dissension, the rebellion we see. You know how we see it and how it's been described? It's been described as political. Is politics involved? Yes, highly involved. But do you know what it really is? All this rebellion, all the riots, all the misinformation about the COVID and everything else. Don't you see what's at the bottom of this? It's not just political. The real battle is it's a rebellion against God and His authority. It's the human being saying, I want to play God. Look at me. I want to establish my system, my order of government, my way of worship, my way of what you live in and how you live and what you travel in, right? I say you will drive an electric car. And I say you will do this. That is man rebelling against God. And it's me, 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 I, instead of God Almighty. That's the battle. It's deeper than politics. It's deeper than all that's on the surface. And as a Christian, look it down at the root of it and say, this is a rebellion, a nation in rebellion against its creator, against the one who formed this nation. That's what it is. And don't you see it? When you go kicking in the heads of older people, well, anybody, and you burn their homes down and you burn places. What are you saying? I defy the authority of God who tells me not to do this. You just take this. Watch me. I'm going to do it and you can't stop me. That's what it's saying. You think about it. It's shaking that finger at God saying, I'm going to do it and you can't do anything about it. And they have no idea that the only reason that they're alive this minute is because God is patient. What does it say in the scripture? He's not willing that anybody perish, but that all come to Jesus Christ. If you wonder why he puts up with it, he doesn't like it. But he loves the people we don't love. It's not all political. The real truth of it is a rebellion and a fight against God. The enemy, the devil, is using this to whittle away at our faith. And the more we focus on all that stuff, the more our faith dwindles. Let me ask you this question. I'm not trying to harp on something. We just look at the reality of it. How many Christians in the course of your day, your week, do you talk to that actually talk about Jesus Christ anymore? About God, about His Word. What comes up in almost every conversation, certainly out in the world, but amongst Christians? Politics. COVID. Right? The lies of the media, And I thought we were supposed to be encouraging each other in Christ daily. This is not something to make us feel bad. It's to get our hearts right back, get our hearts and minds back on Christ. Colossians says you got to put it above. You got to keep your heart and mind on Christ Jesus. Look at the things above, not on the things out here. No, it's okay to talk politics with someone, but if you don't bring Jesus Christ into it and you don't wrap it around Him, then you're doing nothing but what the whole world does. I'm going to tell you what I'm praying. I'm praying that God will expose every single antichrist, anti-God, anti-church person out there. Expose them for the world to see. And all those in positions of influence who are trying to take away our freedoms that are God-given, I'm praying that God expose them and cast them down and lift, put His people in their place. That's what I'm praying. That's, you know, take your faith and do that. Pray hard, pray strong, and pray that more people be saved. Pray that not only they be cast down, but every single one of them. You want to smack the enemy upside the head. Pray that those who hate Him today will, that those that hate Jesus today will ask Him in their heart tomorrow. That slaps the enemy down. That's why we're supposed to pray for their salvation. Look at the testimony of that. Some of these mean ones up there. Snarly ones. What if they came to Christ? It shocked the whole world, wouldn't it? The media wouldn't know what to do. You'd have media people falling over in a faint. Couldn't conduct interviews anymore. So don't focus on it. Focus on Christ, on His power. Because our power is in Christ and Christ alone. Now, secondly, let me give you this. Remember your God. It says, you, patient endurance is what you need now so that you'll continue to do God's will. You remember your God. You seek God's will. You put God's kingdom first. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You seek Him first, and He'll honor you. Your faith will grow. You pray in, what does the Scripture say? This is what the Bible says. Pray in the Spirit at all times. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And in Hebrews, in this very book, it says, encourage each other daily in the faith. And he says, remember this, that your faith in Christ has a great reward. Don't forget that. God doesn't ask us or command us to do something and not reward us. God is such a loving, wonderful Father God. It says, don't throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. God rewards you for believing. Hang on to that faith. Enjoy your faith. It has a great, great reward. Thirdly, he's on point three already. We can't believe it. Yeah. He talks about patient endurance. Listen to me. Listen to what God's saying. In times of great stress, listen to me. I hate this part. No, I don't. Hate's not the right word. This is tough to have to study and tough to bring out. But this is truth. When does my faith grow? When it's challenged. I wish I could let my faith grow when things are good. But the truth is, when I really find my faith again is when things aren't good. I don't like that. Why are we like that? Why can't we grow in faith without something bad having to go on in our lives? But the truth is, when I'm in stress, how about you? When things are not good at all, when you're just under the gun, that's when I really get down with it. And God, and I'm praying. And I mean, fervently. You're getting a sweat over it. I mean, you're really praying. Do you do that normally? Why? Why? Why are we made that way that it takes something happening to us to cause our faith to grow? For us to really get back to God. Everybody experience that? Yeah. And we're going along and it's like, oh, now things are going good, and so I get careless, and I'm going out doing this and that, and then and I'm forgetting God. And then, you know, God won't let you go real far. He loves you. Just like a parent with a child. Okay, you're grounded. Has anybody in this room ever been grounded by God? Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you. Oh, but see that side over there? Their hands come up quicker than anybody. You know, if you're in a really rowdy bunch, sit right over there. That group always has, you know. Did you notice there's nobody over here, but thank you all for your, you know. Is God grounded any of you at any time? Oh, thank you. There's an honest lady finally. Okay, thank you very much. I knew the truth, but I wasn't going to say anything. It will set you free. Yes, he will. I mean, you forget God, and you're going out here, and you're just having your little merry life, and you're not honoring him, and you're not doing what you're supposed to do, and all of a sudden, boom. And then you're crying out to him. But we come back to him, and that's the way it works. And we come back to him. In times of stress, we find God's presence, we find his grace, and we find his love. Have you found his love when you're under pressure? And he loves you through it, and he delivers you from it. You find your heart, and you get it together. And let me tell you, the key to this thing, in this faith business, is to keep your faith. You've got to keep your faith in Christ alone. You've got to keep your eyes, your heart, and your mind on Christ. Don't get carried away with what's next. This is not some, I'm not up here trying to, you know, go off the predicting end. I just will tell you this. I expect, and this is just from the experience of watching what's happened already, don't be shocked, and I expect you're going to see some really weird things between now and November. So do not let it distract you from the faith. Don't get caught up in it. You knew it was coming. You knew, because it's going to get crazy. And I'll tell you what was needed right here and now. Hear me, Christians. As the world gets more crazy, we need to be more spiritually sane and firm and confident and loving, all issuing forth from the river of faith that comes from the filling of the Holy Spirit. They, whoever they are, where you live, where you work, where you go, whatever, they need to see us walking confident. Not with that frown, not with that slumped over. No, strong and healthy and good and ready to say, God has got this. And God is not the author of confusion. And I'm not confused. And I'm focused. And Jesus is for me. And when it says Jesus is for me, it also says if God is for me, Jesus is for me. No one can be against me. And it also says no weapon formed against us will prosper. You quote that. I wear this little ring. And one of the reasons goes right around the top. That's what it says. No weapon formed against me will prosper. And I get kind of down and I read that. And it helps me. Because sometimes there's some pretty heavy artillery, it seems like, aimed our way. And you just read that. No weapon formed against me will prosper. What does it mean? It's not going to happen. I was reading last night in the war in the Battle of Chapultepec, I think that's how you say it, way back in the Spanish-American War. Anyway, and when we invaded Mexico and there was a big war. And Jackson, he was a lieutenant. Everybody know Stonewall Jackson? I mean, he was something else, but he was a lieutenant back then, and he was in charge of an artillery battery. That's two cannons, but that's the caissons and the horses and the men. Anyway, they were rushing up the road, and there was a big line formed, a big barrier of logs and all kinds of debris and stuff that the enemy had built up, and they were taking down our guys bad. And Lieutenant Jackson, brand new lieutenant, no combat experience, a shell hits a 24-pounder. In those days, that was a big round. It hits and flipped one of the caissons upside down and then knocked both of his cannons over. And his men were in a ditch, and they were just, you know, who wouldn't be? And the horses were killed, and it was vicious. It's terrible, terrible. And Lieutenant Jackson suddenly stands up and runs up and grabs, how do you do this, right? But he grabbed the wheel of the cannon and actually flipped it back over. The things we can do when we need to do. I mean, think about it. A cannon? And he turned that thing over by himself and put it back on the right side up. He ran and grabbed the big round, the shot, dropped it down there, and got the powder and the rammer, and he loaded that thing himself, aimed that gun, and sent that sucker right into where that cannon was firing. His men saw that, and all of a sudden, here they come, and they push the other cannon up, and Lieutenant Jackson and two cannon wiped out that entire thing. And later, when it was over, he blew that whole barrier apart, and here come our guys in blue, and they stormed it and won that battle. And Colonel Magruder rode up to him, and it was his commanding officer. And he said, "Well, Lieutenant, I see you're fighting your own little private war here today." And you say, you get the moral of that? You get what that's about? I just read that last night, and God just hit me. And he was saying, "Tony, that's where I want you and Full Life Fellowship to be. When everybody's lying in the ditch covering up their head because of all the wicked rounds falling around, I want you out there turning that spiritual cannon over, and I want you to put heat on the enemy. I want you to stand up under fire and do your thing." And one part that I forgot to tell you that was so important. This is how God protects you when you're doing what you got to do. Before he could lay that round in there, and he was sighting, he's doing all this by himself, they fired on him. And they fired a cannon shell that said that hit and bounced between his legs on the ground and buried in the mud and didn't go off. Now see, and I see that, you can't see it any other way. That was God's protection. And they said after that battle, Lieutenant Jackson started making that turnaround and realizing that God had a purpose for him on this earth. Wouldn't you? Because that would have blown him to smithereens and the whole thing, and it didn't go off. It buried in the mud. Now, I want to tell you something. No weapon formed against you will prosper, and that enemy may fire, but God will bury it in the mud if you'll stand there when the rounds are falling and the heat's coming, and you do your part in this spiritual warfare, and you fight your battle with your spiritual armor on, and you let God worry about the rest. You see? That's when you find yourself. He wasn't trying to be a hero. He wasn't doing anything. He just did not want to see any more people killed. And the only way to do it is take out what's killing his guys. And friends, I don't want to see any more Christians slaughtered. I don't want to see anybody else. I don't want to see any more businesses or churches or anything else attacked and burned. And I want to stand here where I'm supposed to stand and believe like I'm supposed to believe. And I need to close this up. And so let me do it by this. Just trust and rejoice in the Lord of your salvation. Be glad, because I'll tell you this. You believe in Christ and you're saved. You know your name's written in His book of life. You believe in prayer, so know that God will intervene. You believe in salvation and eternal life, then you know that this is not the end but the beginning. And friend, let me tell you this. Remember the rest of this? We are not of those who fall back, but those who endure and believe and are saved. And I want to tell you something, and you hang on to this. No matter what, no matter what, no matter what, you keep turning that cannon over. If it gets knocked that side down, you turn it back up, and you keep believing, and you keep praying, and you keep proclaiming that scripture, and keep encouraging each other, and coming to church, and doing everything you can to worship the Lord, because Jesus Christ is coming again, and no politician, no evil on earth is going to stop him. He is our hope. He's why we're here, and I'm looking forward to it, and no weapon formed against me will ever prosper, and he's going to come pick us up and take us home, and we win. And I'm stopping. Father, I pray if anyone in this place has never asked Jesus in their heart, or they're not sure that Jesus is in their heart, or they've just maybe been out of fellowship, or their faith has dwindled, or they've been angry at you, or whatever it is, Father, today, touch them. Touch them. Come into their life. Friend, listen to me in this prayer. I pray for you. I pray that Jesus Christ will be the Lord of Lords and King of Kings of your life. He'll be your Savior and your Lord. If there's any way I can help you, if you've never asked Jesus, just get up and come down here. Nobody's going to laugh or look. We're all bowed our heads and we're praying. Is there anything you need that you want me to pray for? That you want this church to pray? You want to ask Christ in your heart? You want to renew yourself? So we used to call it rededicating. You just want to get it all renewed again. Do it. Do you have to come stand here? No. You can do it right where you're at. I'll come to your table. Or you can do it right there with yourself. And you can pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I'm not sure about my salvation. You can pray that to God right here. But Jesus, I want to make sure. And Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and forgive me my sins and be my Savior and Lord. And I repent of everything in my life. And I turn on my life, my heart, to you right now. Make my body your temple. You can pray that prayer in Jesus' name and he'll come into your heart. You want to rededicate your life? You can pray it something like this. You can use my words or make something, but here's the way it goes. Lord, I've kind of strayed from you. I've been all caught up in all kinds of stuff. Something happened in my life and a trauma, whatever. It's just caused me to doubt you. I feel cold. Scripture's not warm when I read it. My prayers don't feel powerful. So Lord Jesus, I just renew myself before you and I ask you to take out the junk and cleanse me. There's so much hurt and so much distress and so much confusion. So much depression and anxiety. It's just so much stuff. Lord Jesus, I'm a Christian, but I haven't been where I need to be with you. I've been letting words come out of my mouth and thoughts in my mind, and I'm just not doing what God wants me to do. Father, forgive me. And I ask you to restore to me your spiritual presence, your spirit's filling. Restore to me love and the warmth of fellowship with you. Restore to me the joy of my salvation in Jesus' name. And for those of you who have something that you need healed in your body, we lead you in this prayer as we close. Oh, Father God, Lord Jesus, you're the great physician. I need your healing power. There's hurt, there's pain in my body, and my heart, and my mind. There's brokenness, there's sorrow. Oh, dear Lord, I call on you as a loving God, a healing God, a generous and giving God, to touch me inside, touch me outside, and heal my brokenness. Heal this worry, heal my body, that's your temple. Oh, Lord Jesus, the great physician, heal everything in my life. Restore. Make me well again. God, I pray your blessings, the generosity of your good grace. And God, heal my family, heal my children, husband, wife, job, friends, everything about me. Use this experience in my life as a testimony to others. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your mercy, your grace, your forgiveness, your acceptance, your love. In Jesus' name, amen.